Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out. Hi, this is My Perfect Romance, and today we are going to be reading letters from Valerie and Lisa's grandparents.
And
love letters.
And we should introduce who we are.
Oh, yes.
Because I don't think people have seen us.
We've heard our voices. Sorry, now you've seen us.
So,
I'm Courtney.
Hold on. I just gotta do something here.
Oh. But your hair's in the
Oh, yes.
You know what? I think it show back.
And I'm Lisa. Oh, I don't know if it's backwards. I don't know how
it's backwards. So she's Ossil.
I'm Ossil.
Lisa. Ossil. That actually totally sounds like you should be,
drink.
If I were a rich man, yada, yada. Ossil.
We're also going to
Who
be.
Are you
oh, I'm down.
One more.
Oh, yeah.
Courtney,
we're also going to be putting masks on our face today. And this is Lisa's choice of mask.
You guys, you've all seen the little blurbs you get on
TikTok
or I don't know, whatever your social media feed is. And this got me so excited because they have a green mask and all of a sudden these black pepper-like things start getting pulled out of people's skin. It looks like there's pepper on their face.
Who doesn't want that?
I want my black out.
I want all of those little things just coming out like
I
worms.
I think it's so bullshit.
We'll
I don't know. I'm excited to see. I will be honest, I didn't go and find something and buy that exact product. I went on Amazon. I'm not affiliated with Amazon, by the way. But this one was all in English, so I understood that, because mm-hmm. There were a lot of different green tea masks.
Yeah.
And this is just mask, beauty skin mask.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay, do you want to read
the
directions? Let's put it on.
Should we read the directions? So this is what we're going to use.
I love that you guys actually read directions for things.
Oh, well, I mean, people should know.
Well, we
what
realized
to
that
here.
To actually read these directions,
yeah.
Lisa needed some, well,
guys.
All three of us needed glasses, actually.
I've never worn reading glasses before, and right now I've
Doesn't
never
Doesn't she
too.
Look hot, though? She looks hot. You look hot. You kind of look easier.
I can't
look
see
like
anything, but I can see words, so here we go.
I'm going to read along.
Usage. After cleansing the face, open the product and rotate the mask out. Remove the transparent product. Oh, protect cover. So this is not English. Smear the mask on the face evenly.
Okay.
Wait for 10 to 15 minutes, then wash away and do daily skincare.
Okay. All right. Let's do it again. So
this,
we're
supposed to wash our faces first.
Which
we've
done.
Came to the table.
Yeah,
yes.
We came.
Yeah. We came. Clean.
Our
yeah.
faces are clean.
Yes. I guess let's open the product.
Okay.
Oh, I have to take these off because I can't really actually see anything right now.
Okay. It looks like a big. It looks like a green deodorant. You have a good eyeball.
Okay,
I feel like you were about to give us some inspirational
hair.
Lisa, no matter what happens, you can make it. Look at
okay.
Don't go to the light.
This, I'm a little nervous.
It looks like a green deodorant stick.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
How are we going to do this?
I'm going to put it on you.
Oh.
Oh,
okay.
This is awesome.
All right. I guess I go first.
Courtney's the first guinea pig.
Can I do it at the same time?
You do each side.
I'll let you guys. You guys can get both of me.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, gosh.
It smells good.
I can't even get the cover off.
I guess why? I guess Valerie's doing me.
Because I'm stuck on getting the cover off.
I'm going to get right there because that's like where
yeah,
you're
it's like
I'm
it's like
there.
A deodorant top cover, right? Where it should just
yeah.
pop off. I have fingernails right now, too.
I have no fingernails. I just can't, fingernails get in the way. I'm not careful.
Did
enough.
You have to twist it? I cannot get it to separate.
Here, you
oh.
switch here. Oh, you got it.
I just, it just could not.
It's looking good.
You look good. Well, you make anything look good. You look great.
This is so wrong. We're like monkeys. Your face is there. I'm gonna get it.
Can we make this more awkward? Like, I feel like we need some really crazy background music.
Oh
right
my
now.
Gosh.
Okay, Brady, I'm gonna, the beanie's going up a little.
Yeah, the beanie, the
you
turban.
Pull it up.
We just didn't want to do our hair today, but I'm going to be honest, Courtney just did my hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, your hair is beautiful.
I know. I kind of want to take my turban off to show it off.
I know. Courtney's doing my hair next, so you guys get the...
I don't want to do my hair any day.
Turn.
The nose is happening. That's where all the blackheads are.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to like,
be a blackhead.
Like
I kind of feel like I've got weird stuff like right in the under eye crease too. You know, like right there.
Okay.
The under eye crease.
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Val. You're multitasked.
Okay.
Okay, get on the other side of Valerie's face because, oh, you got it?
I'll get this.
You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends' noses.
That is like a
crevasse. Well,
I'm gonna have to use my finger.
There's gonna be a blackhead there for sure.
Okay,
I'm gonna hold still. Okay, I give up.
Okay, you do that side.
I'm gonna hold it so still because, like, apparently my eyeball is part of this. I was pretty harsh on your nose too. I deserve that.
Back a little bit.
I was just like,
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Like monkeys, like a little pack of monkeys, just like picking the gnats out of each other's hair.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. We're just grooming each other.
It's very easy to put on.
Yeah, we just are making it more complicated. Like we should probably do this upside down, doing handstands. Just. You know, keep it real.
It smells good.
It does
smell good.
It smells really
and it's
good.
Like smooth and it's nice and like it feels kind of
tingly.
Like
go.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a couple of spots where I see that it might be actually doing what it says it's gonna do.
No.
Okay, here, let me do you.
We'll be so excited.
I do like this so far. It feels good. I mean,
mm-hmm.
on my skin.
This green tea.
Is it tightening as it dries?
It's supposed
yeah.
to be like a purifying cleansing mask. I don't know if it's supposed to like...
I mean, it feels tightening when as it's drying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what mask I want to try? It's the one that makes you look like you're really like wrinkly.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
we'll do that one.
That one.
No. But actually, Courtney and Lisa, like I can see some places where it's actually kind of
ooh.
Drying some stuff out a little bit, but it's definitely not like not.
You're not seeing all those like things just.
Yeah, it doesn't
right
look like someone
pores.
Threw poppy seeds on your face.
Dang it. I was really excited for that.
I know.
If it's going to be anywhere, don't you think it'll be like in the crevasse of the news?
I think
yeah.
so.
Right
do I have
that.
Some? Do
all
I have
right.
some?
Yeah, you've got it.
Is
I
it,
really should have.
No. I meant, is it pulling out nasties? Do I have?
I can't tell.
I mean, it's good. Okay, let's put the timer on.
Like, hold on. Hello. I'm going to let you guys see. This is me.
Yeah, didn't we do a good job putting it on Valerie's face?
It was a group effort.
I feel like this is like some weird, like,
I feel like I look like a witch. Like, you know, when somebody does like a green face for a witch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like from Wicked?
Can we start singing Wicked? Yeah, do we have any good tissue to wipe? I'm going to leave it over here. I'll clean it.
I'm just
going
to
throw
it over there.
We'll do
it
later.
It's not going to dry out over like the course of the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
so we're going to read letters.
Do we have a timer
on?
No.
I'm going to grab a phone.
How much
that's
time
do
we need?
Oh, do you want to read a love letter while?
Yes.
I'm going to
read.
Okay.
Let's read a love letter.
So I'll read a love letter while we're setting. While we're setting it up. Aw, so cute.
Okay. Yeah. She's got pictures.
Do you want to read
too.
Or do you want me to?
You go for it.
Okay.
I'll get with a timer set up.
So I did not bring my love letters because they're letters that my cousin sent me from between my grandparents, my father's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I got these letters years ago from my cousin, and I cannot find them anywhere. You know, I put them somewhere special, but that special place is not appearing. So at some point, I will find them and I will read those. But in the meantime, these two have amazing.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that you have actual love letters. So I'm just telling my grandparents' love story.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
perfect.
Yeah. And Lisa and I were talking. We both, since we didn't have actual love letters, both Lisa and I interviewed our parents, our mothers, to get more of the juicy juice. And it was so fun because both of our parents got nostalgic about a whole bunch of things. And so it was like a really fun little bonding time.
It
was a cute mom sesh. Yeah. Okay. So I'm sharing a family love story that really shaped who I am. It's a story of my grandma Marie and her husband Jack. My grandma Marie is actually my grandpa's sister. Marie was born the ninth of 10 surviving children in 1914 and grew up on her parents' homestead farm in southeastern Washington. She was the untouchably cool cousin to her kin and exercised her inner wild child, riding Harleys and marrying young to escape family.
What year is this?
1914 is when she was born.
Yeah.
She was driving Harleys in 1914?
When she was a teenager, she was a Harley driver. She would ride motorcycles, had a Harley.
Like this is the time of the flappers.
Yes.
No, this is your great-grandma?
No, this
is
my grandma. This is my grandma.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm the youngest of five kids. So my mom's older, and this was the older sister of her dad that adopted her.
Okay.
So
she was the youngest of 10.
She's the ninth of 10.
Oh, the ninth of 10.
Of surviving kids, yeah. And so, so her younger brother is actually.
How many children did she give birth to?
She gave birth to 11 or 12. My great-grandma. My great-grandmother actually, so it's kind of a neat story there, too. It's actually really sad. So, my great-grandmother is from Syria, Lebanon, and a lot of her family was killed off. There was civil war and distress happening a lot during that area. So, at 14, she was one of the few survivors in her family, and so she actually, at 14, was put on a boat and immigrated to the United States by herself.
So this is post-World War I,
so when my great-grandmother immigrated, it was like 1900. It was 1880, in the 1890s when she immigrated from Syria, Lebanon by herself and came to the United States basically by herself when she was 14. And she immediately married a man who was like 10 years older than her because as an immigrant, you come over, there's not very many opportunities for you over on where you on the East Coast and stuff.
And especially as a female.
And especially also being Middle Eastern.
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah. She had a lot of strikes
against her.
Super against her. But this is a fighter. She was the only one, so she was a war refuge.
Yeah.
Saw her family killed, all of these things, at 14, surviving all of that trauma. Mm-hmm. And so she actually, I think it probably started off as a business, proposition, because married couples could sign up and they would be given land and they could go homestead. So at 14, she married like a 24-year-old.
Which is young.
Which is also
then,
young. Yeah.
Then that was.
And she had
a middle-aged man back then.
He totally was. And so.
This was pre-penicillin.
This is pre-penicillin.
Yeah.
And so they got married so they could sign up for a homestead. And then so they homesteaded and they were given their land in southeastern Washington. And beautiful farmland, gorgeous, gorgeous farmlands. Like the Palouse is insanely beautiful, rich, fertile farm soil. So then they came out here, and by the time they actually got here, they had already had a couple of their children and stuff. And so my grandmother was actually born on the farm and raised up on this farm, but in the middle of nowhere. And my grandma. Yeah. My grandmother, for her era, was a worldly girl, and my grandma's full of piss and vinegar.
I can imagine that being the ninth of 10 children?
Yes, yeah.
Like, they didn't have time to pay any attention to any of their children.
And
she was probably raised by her older siblings.
Well, and what had happened, too, is she wasn't, like, where the infant deaths happened with her mother was just sort of, like, over it, but, you know, like, she was just positioned poorly for attention in that family, too. And then she came out being headstrong. So, you know, it's a family tree. So she was raised on the farm and she just wanted to get the hell off that farm. And so she ended up in this relationship with a very charismatic, but a very abusive man. So she was, you know, young life bride, mm-hmm. and got in a very bad situation.
Where did she meet him?
That guy, I don't know. It was just, he was her ticket off the farm. So she took that ticket and it was crazy abusive. And she ended up losing her ability to have children during that experience. But she is a tough little cookie and she actually escaped him by the time she was 22.
Okay.
So, you know, she got away from him quickly. And then she even went through secretary school, which was kind of like the ultimate college for girls back then. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she could get out of a super abusive relationship
and go get an education
is pretty huge. So she went to secretary school. And when she was in secretary school, she met this girl called Faith. And Faith became friends and Faith was like, you have to come. You have to come with me to Northern Washington and you just need to move with me to Northern Washington. And my grandma's like, oh, it's not a farm. Okay, I'm in. so she went to Northern Washington and discovered that the reason Faith wanted her to come to Northern Washington is because Faith was matchmaking her with her brother.
Oh.
Because Faith was like, you and my brother would be perfect together.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And she didn't know this. So Marie was like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, nope. I'm going to be a badass. I'm going to be a working, you know, kind of thing too.
Working
so So she was like sassy. And so she's 22 up here at this point.
Okay, by those standards.
Oh, yeah. But worldly divorce, you know, like she can't have babies. She's just like, you know, fuck this. I'm not going to do the family thing. I'm just going to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Never going to get involved with a guy again because men suck. And that, you know, kind of a thing. But then her friend Faith, which how appropriate that this, her name is Faith, introduces her to her brother. And so it was really cute because, you know, you have my sassy grandmother who's just like, oh, forget this. And then this guy comes up and she's like, you're kind of a little young for me. And he's like, oh, well, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 22. 22, T-W-O. Mm-hmm. And so then this guy, Jack, Faith's brother, is like, oh, really? Well, I'm 22, T-O-O. So he was younger than him, but he knew that she wouldn't be interested.
That was a big age gap back then.
That was. And so,
in today's time, 2 years would be like 10 years.
The woman being older, too, was
unheard
also
of. Scandalous.
Really
even.
Scandalous, even. And so he's like, oh no, I'm 22, T-O-O. So he was just like, he was just head over heels, like infatuated with my grandmother. Like, this woman is so cool and so everything, and she's strong, and she was a strong, strong woman. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like, and he was seriously like the sweetest, kindest, nicest man. Basically, it was just like this perfect little couple. You know, he was a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And so But they, and she, you know, she had her secretary stuff, but they ended up taking over this little restaurant in the town where they were because that was the business opportunity. So they ran this little restaurant together up in northern, in Washington. Yeah. And while there,
was it like a cafe? Like
it was a little cafe. So he cooked, she waited the tables and stuff like
that's
that.
That's adorable. Yeah.
Super cute. And hard while work. They were there, oh, yeah. But yeah. While they were there, but they both were super hard workers. So, like, that was, like, nothing, whatever. It's, it is what it is. So when they were there, one of their little waitresses, her name was Elizabeth. And they met friends. And then Marie was like, oh, you know, Elizabeth should meet my younger brother. So Marie hooked Elizabeth up with her younger brother, Ernie. And they ended up getting married and having a baby. But Elizabeth and during this time period, Marie and Ernie's parents were getting older and they needed someone to take over the farm. But Marie, being the independent wild child, was actually one of the hardest workers on the farm and knew how to run all the farming equipment, could run the combines, could...
she also had a bottle.
It's our family business. You know, we just, you know, yeah.
Just side.
I said cafe. What I really meant was bottle. Yes, yeah. So, you know, just go with it. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too far from all this, I know. But... So they went back and took over the family homestead and farm. And so they were there. They were established. Meanwhile, Ernie and Elizabeth, Ernie went and, you know, was part of the war. And he actually was crippled during the war. Elizabeth couldn't handle the stress and had developed an alcohol problem. And so they were unable to take care of their daughter, Betty, my mom.
Yeah.
And so... Ernie, at one point, Elizabeth was in a rehab facility and whatnot. And Ernie.
Back in the 1940s?
Yeah.
Those existed?
And, well, you might say mental institution. You might say rehab facility.
Okay.
You might
say
jail.
Here I am thinking, like, rehab facility.
You know, she was just in a place where they were taking my mom away from. So my mom was in and out of social services. And then, but Ernie was a crippled war vet, but he ended up having custody of my mother because Elizabeth couldn't care for her because of her disease process.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ernie, like not knowing what the hell to do in this situation, went back to the family homestead with my mom when she was like 4, and Marie and he stayed there for like a summer, and at the end, and Marie and Jack fell in love with my mom.
And Marie could never have children.
So Marie begged her brother to let them raise her. And so she was like, just please leave her with us, please leave her with us, please leave her with us, please, 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 please. And so then, one day at the end of the summer, Ernie got up, had breakfast with everyone, and just left.
Oh, did he say anything, or he just left?
He never said anything.
So was she ever officially adopted? Like,
so this was a thing. So it ended up happening, but so my mother's birth name was terrible. It was Beulah Petrula.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, they did her.
And her last name was Junkie.
Beulah Petrula Junkie.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's that bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think it's terrible. I used to make fun of my mom when I found her birth certificate. I was like, who the hell is Beulah
Petrula?
And she's
like,
oh, that's me. And I'm like, that's a terrible. I'm like,
I mean, at the time, it was probably a great name.
Yeah, I don't know. But they called her Junker.
Like,
except, so anyway, so my grandma and my mom ended up calling her Betty Jean. But so my mom ended up living with them, but they never knew if she was ever could be, you know, if the mom squared up her stuff, you know, she could come and take her.
Yeah.
Like, So they called her Betty Jean. They just switched her name. They're like, you know, so she came to live with them at four, and they're like, do you like the name Betty?
So that's how she got the
name. And it was so funny because back then, like, they never changed any official name records or anything like that. So just when
calling her Betty.
So when it was time for Betty to go to school, they just went down, took her down to the schoolhouse. This is Betty Jean. So
I didn't ask for birth certificates.
Nothing like that. So my mom was raised, you know, high school diplomas, everything like that is Betty Jean. All this stuff. She had the hardest time when it was time for her to try to go get a passport because she didn't exist.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I don't exist.
It's a big deal to have a birth certificate that belongs to you. Like, I know a couple people that were born in Washington and off the grid and never had birth certificates. So to society, they didn't exist, and it took years.
Yes, it was
to
a challenge.
Prove that she was a human.
Absolutely,
the things we take for granted.
Oh, completely. So anyway, so then my I call her my grandma, you know, Marie, and Jack, you know, had
she is your grandma.
She's 12. My grandma. They had their beautiful child, and they were known as the people. So they weren't like a super elaborate, super gushy emotional couple, but they were the most solid people, and they fully, truly just accepted each other. Like, they appreciated who the other one was. They didn't question the other one's purpose. They just both fully loved and appreciated who the other person was. And I often think that my grandmother, this wild child lady, had she not had that terrible experience, she never would have met Faith, but she also never would have appreciated the sweet, kind, gentle stability and kindness that was and is my Grandpa Jack. Because everyone is like, Grandpa Jack was one of the most beautiful people that ever walked the earth. You know, he's kind of person. But he wasn't this flamboyant, you know.
I think some people almost need a training marriage to appreciate what that means.
Exactly. And meanwhile, you know, my Grandpa Jack loved this, like, just incredibly unstoppable woman that was my grandma. But she also, so it was neat. She needed the mellowing of that experience, and he needed her. And they were this insanely beautiful couple that just really respected each other. And it was kind of sad. So they were married and together for 40 years. And then he had to go in for surgery and just a freak accident during surgery. And he died.
Oh.
He died when he was 60.
Oh.
And my grandma, so then my grandma was widowed at 62. And she, so this is where I come into the story. So my grandma was just like, my person is gone. Like, there was no other person for her.
Yeah.
She's just like, and so she kind of lived the last 20 years of her life just waiting to be with him again.
Yeah.
But this is where I come into the story. So I'm the youngest of five. So by the time my mom got to me, I was actually born 8 days after my grandpa's death.
Oh.
And so my grandma then...
You came here for a reason.
Yeah. So basically I was the place filler for my grandpa in my grandmother's life. So I was raised more by my grandmother than my mother. I live with my mother, but I was raised... My grandmother lived with us half the time. Mm-hmm. And my mom was a single mom. And my grandmother was my main parent.
Yeah.
When I was being raised and things like that. So my grandmother, who's actually my great aunt, was actually as much, if not more, my mom than my mom was I was raised and stuff. And so it's just kind of
like a
neat little, it was really neat. So, you know, full circle with the story, it's really quite sweet because, you know, knowing that love. So I didn't have examples of good partnerships in my life, you know, growing up and things. But the idea of this union, like, I never saw a good relationship.
You didn't get to see Jack and Marie.
I didn't get to see Jack and Marie.
Heard about them.
Yeah. But the knowledge that it existed, mm-hmm. and seeing who my grandma was and how she still respected that relationship, let me know that it was possible. Let me know that there were good men out there, mm-hmm. because I wasn't lucky enough to encounter good men. And I have to say, and it's really funny too, because then going through the experiences that I went through with my first marriage, it's kind of neat that I sort of paralleled my grandma's life in the fact that, you know, after having my experience that's very much parallel to her experience, then I found a man that was just as sweet and kind and beautiful as my Grandpa Jack. And everyone is kind of funny. My mom's like, he's your grandpa.
That's so sweet.
And so he's...
I never met Jack, but...
Yeah, my mom, her dad, Jack, she's like the greatest man that ever. He was just so... The best human my mom had ever met was her dad.
Her dad.
And as far as just like the kindest, most reliable, most, his word is as true as it can be. And that's who my husband is now. So for me, it's kind of neat. It's nice to know that even if it doesn't come first, that it's there. And so I love it. And I love the fact that I always say, you know, in my head, Bob, my husband, his grandmother, he was raised a lot by his grandmother too, and grandpa.
Yeah.
And so, I always think that my grandmother and his grandmother up in heaven playing bingo hooked us up.
Yes. They were shooting their arrows at him.
They were shooting, they're like, and then they just picked a crazy way for those arrows to, like, they're like, I can't believe two little Catholic grandmothers up there, you know, like, okay, we're going to put the kids together like this.
Yep.
Circumstances. Right.
Well, I'm going to pause it because we're going to take this mask off, but that was beautiful.
Yes. That's my family love story.
I really didn't know a lot of that. So thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. That's fun to know you even more.
Yeah, and it's okay to have a trainer marriage and know that there's something better out there, right?
So let's see. Is there... Oh, I'm going to poke you in the eyeball.
Yeah, you just poked my eyeball.
I see just one little place where there's some stuff was pulled out over here.
No way.
Yeah, there's a tiny little spot there. And then how about on me? Is there any place right there? There's a little pulled out right there.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. And then how about on me? Is there any spots?
You guys have, like... clean, perfect skin. Apparently, I'm a dirty girl. I love it. I don't see anything. Let me get my readers on.
Oh, yeah.
I dare do that? I
can see them all. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. These make me kind of nauseous. Oh, my God. It's like a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I am.
No, you look great. Oh, you guys. I'm telling you. Nothing.
I was feeling
I'm excited.
Like right there.
So there's something over here.
Yeah, there's something over there. Just a little tiny bit.
Let me see for sure.
Yeah, there totally is. There's just a little bit.
No.
No? Is it just a crunchy spot?
See how well I can see? It's just
readers help.
It's kind of smushed off a little. It's like kind of all level. It's that.
We wanted it to be real. We wanted it to be like pepper all over the face by the time we were done. Because that's how it shows up on TikTok or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw it. I was like, oh.
Full of crap.
It's going to be so cool. All right. These people all have like perfectly clear looking skin.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they've got all this black.
I know. I've seen them too. It's like, I
wonder what's hiding under my skin.
In all fairness, like, buyer beware. I mean, like, the stuff on their faces was like almost like boba tea gel, like, you know, it was the things that they were pulling out. I didn't even know pores could get that big.
No, I know.
They did their magic.
It was screaming.
It's a dream. We all want like just a magic thing to just pull.
Let's
all
take it
the
off.
Stuff
and
So we will be back.
All right, we'll be back. We're gonna go wash our faces.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're all the way dry.
Okay.
I didn't have time to do it all last night. So we're back.
But I think, and then all the, all the capes were hung up or drying. So those are all clean.
Things, okay. Truth,
oh, I'll show you later.
Okay. I don't either. Oh my gosh, I was listening to this one thing that was at this lady finally recognizing what the words to a Prince song were meant. And she had a pocket full of horses, Trojans, and water, and some of them used.
That was the words?
But it was Saturday night, so I guess that makes it all right.
Oh, yeah.
She said,
little red Corvette, what to do?
Yeah, so that song.
You know all the lyrics.
No. I only know this because I saw someone else. Do you carry around used condoms in your pocket?
No.
No one does.
Yeah, like, ew.
Only a weirdo.
But I guess somebody is like, I'm going to keep track like this.
I wonder what your mental stability was if
yeah,
I saw, like, used condoms in your
exactly.
pocket.
Exactly. And, like, yeah, like, I'm just, this is how I keep track of how many people I was with tonight.
Okay.
Oh.
I will say, like, when I was cleaning my Airbnbs after, like, people would stay, because it was just, you know, a single studio type apartment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the majority of people that stayed were couples. And I was like, what am I going to find? Is it, how nasty is it going to be?
Oh, see? Good.
No.
Oh, my God.
I think if people did use condoms, which I was under the impression, like, not very many people must use condoms.
Or they just
they
get rid
probably
of them.
Disposed of them very discreetly.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's
so,
very nice.
Yes,
nice.
I was shocked at how. Like,
oh my God!
For like 99% of people
when,
are not disgusting.
When my brother went
so
to college, when my brother went to college, and I had the little small room with bars on the window, and I got to move into his room when he went to college, but I had to clean it.
Ooh, no! Following a boy, gross. Boys don't see dirt.
Let me just
That's
tell
a
you,
quote.
They were not, he was not a discreet boy who properly disposed of things.
Gross. So I say
yes.
I have one son that is a very neat, clean human, and the other one is not. So not all men are created equal.
No, everyone's different. But
so what do we think of the, how do
what
you
do we
feel?
Think of the masks?
Yeah.
I mean, my skin
oh,
feels good. Definitely feels good, but I didn't see the pores extracting blackheads.
I
no.
think my skin's all red and
yeah,
it
might have been
more.
A little harsh.
I think it was a little. My skin's see like I'm still
yeah,
I'm
you're
super
right.
red.
You have, you have
I think I'm having
skin.
A I do. So I might be having a mild allergic reaction.
Oh shoot! It's interesting because it felt good going on.
It
was
did
very
it
tingle
the chat.
Yeah,
it was cool and it smelled good.
Mm-hmm.
My skin isn't quite as sensitive, so I feel like it would
mine feels
nice,
mine feels hot and red.
It's
and
on fire.
It is red.
Yeah.
But soft.
So maybe this mask would not be for people who have sensitive skin.
I've got leather for skin, I'm fine.
And maybe it's not for if you really think you're going to have blackheads just coming out of your pores. It doesn't work that way, really.
Darn it.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it again.
I'm not excited.
All right, so this is a thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
So.
But I feel like we should find the old person mask thing and see. Like, it's supposed to make all your wrinkles go away.
We'll try that.
I need that one.
Have you guys seen that one?
No. Does it really?
Yeah. Yes, it makes your face just like...
I did see the one of the woman who she go on her face all poofy and she looks like she's this hideous
she
like 65-year-old woman and
65's
then,
not old enough.
I know I'm saying it's not, but no,
oh, okay.
but no, but no, 65's not old. But
okay.
She goes from like looking 65
to looking
23.
25.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Well,
find
that.
Let's try that one.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
All right.
We all want to look 20.
I know, like, all these Chinese crazy websites. I'm like, okay, like, identity theft. I feel like when you go to buy some of these projects and you can't get them off of Amazon, I'm like, I don't know that I want to give that place my...
Yeah,
then you
true.
Come up and they're like, oh, no, you signed up for an annual subscription, so every month we're going to send it to you. But you got the introductory price for the first purchase, and
this
is like $700
on but yeah. Like I don't trust those sites. But yeah. Oh yes.
Okay. Well, let's listen to your story.
Do you guys want to hear mine?
Yeah, I do.
So we kind of went for old time stories, and I think it's funny because you were talking about kind of the time frame of when your grandma met.
Yes.
Well, this story is actually about my great grandparents. Who also were falling in love around the same time as your grandparents.
That's so cute.
But once you understand why, like, okay, I was born, raised in Utah. That makes sense. So I guess I found out by reading my great grandpa's obituary. He's actually from Kansas, I think, and then they migrated to Utah. So
by a tornado.
A tornado carried him there. Yes. And then he landed on a farm. Because that's what people, that's all they did. So in Utah, I guess, a federal reclamation project began in 1905. And they gave 16,000 acres worth of land for strawberry production. So in the Utah Valley, to this day, there are huge strawberry farms. And there's a lot of strawberry production. And there's like Strawberry Day parades, and do you guys want me to tell you my pageant history?
I do.
You guys want to hear the pageant?
Yes.
So they have a Strawberry Days pageant.
Were you the Strawberry Princess?
I was not. I was born in the 80s. In the 80s, I revered my aunts, who were honestly 10, 12 years older than me. Because of the size of families and how, like, quickly there's turnover. It's like breeding rabbits. So I'm quite close in age to my aunts, really. But when they were their 16 teenage years, I was like young, impressionable, like first, second grade. They were doing Strawberry Days pageants.
Aww.
They would practice on us as kids.
Wow.
They would have us do our own little home pageants. We had to learn how to sing, like, oh gosh, what's that? You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Which
and
you probably
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. How many people can say that? I can. Because they made us do home pageants. They competed in pageants, Strawberry Day pageants. And I think my aunts went pretty far with it. But
that's pretty awesome.
But
pageants.
So you were being trained at an early age to how to be in a pageant.
Yes, but guess what? I was not down.
But like
some
of your sisters, like
no.
Your family was like, your dad was a photographer. Your family did some modeling. You had some of that going on. Like you guys were super.
My
beautiful.
Dad was a photographer because he didn't want to be an engineer. Like it was just like this is my hobby job. Real work's too much. I don't know. He'll have to tell his story, but that was my impression. So anyway, Strawberry Days. They've been around since 1905, and this is the reason for my existence. I'll tell you why.
Thank God for strawberries.
So, thank God for strawberries. So, back then, they had a picking problem. They needed pickers. So, the youth in the area, they would have these picking camps. So, they would have a boys' tent. They would have a girls' tent. The two did not intermix. They had, you know, supervision. This is Utah. Everyone's Mormon.
So this was in Logan, Utah.
No, Utah Valley. Like,
oh, Utah Valley.
So south of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So the Mecca of Utah, you would think is Salt Lake City, but it's not. It's down in, like, Provo area.
Yeah.
There are, like, the density of Mormons is so high in that area compared to any other part of Utah. Like, even Salt Lake, where, like, the temple is, I think it's, like, 40%, something like that.
Provo is no longer,
but so down in that area.
Okay.
So.
Where's Logan in comparison to Soga?
Logan is very north.
Yeah, it's almost on the border of Idaho. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's,
and Bear Lake is, like on the in the there half
it
of the lake is in
Idaho,
and the other and Bear Lake is just 20 minutes from Logan.
Okay,
where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So. And they have a strawberry reservoir, like Bear Lake is a reservoir. Like all of this farming and irrigation all happened around early 1900s.
Yeah.
But it was the strawberry picking camps that mattered most. So, for sure it did. Because there was one boy in particular, according to my mom, that everyone had their eye on.
You should show a picture right now.
Should I show the pictures?
He's a good looking man. Okay. Yeah, he's a good
should
looking
I?
Man.
Okay, so this
so then,
is...
then everyone can have like an idea.
This is the hottie, hottie,
this
hot,
is
hot
my great-grandparents when... This is obviously an artistic impression when they fell in love. Are you guys ready for this? I'm going to hold it
artistic impression, I'm in.
So there you go. That is my ancestry. And
that's the hottie George.
Hottie, hottie, hottie George across the strawberry fields. Picking strawberries, bent over all, maybe even his butt in the air. I don't know.
All the girls are watching him.
Yeah. You know. And they didn't get to mix. All they could do was be like, oh, there's something fun over there. But at the end of the strawberry camp, when all the strawberries picked, they're shutting down camp. They had a dance. And everybody knew about it. This was something they all really looked forward to.
And I'm sure this was to encourage people to come to and pick.
Yeah,
like, we'll
year,
have like this festival.
Not
we'll
only
thank you
dance,
so much for
we'll
doing
have...
a good job.
Yes.
Now
yes.
We'll let you, you know, stay 6 feet apart.
I don't know about that.
This is the 20s. They were...
Yes,
yeah,
this
there.
Would have been the 1926,
yeah,
27. I can't remember.
Progressive.
I think so.
Yeah. I think they got married in 1929 or 27, somewhere around there. So they have this dance, and everyone knows it's coming. They're out in the fields picking. Well, my great-grandmother, Alfreda was her name. I think she stuck with it.
She made it work, obviously.
She made it work, and it was hot. She... was watching that sun get closer to the horizon, and she's like, I'm going to turn in early so I have extra time to get ready. She sneaks off those strawberry fields, goes to the girls' tent, gets herself ready, but before she does that, she finds all of their nice dancing shoes and hides them outside of the tent where no one's going to be able to find them. So that by the time, like, people are coming in, she sneaks off, heads to the dance where all the boys, you know, boys don't need to get ready.
Yeah,
they're born ready.
They're there.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I like wash my pits.
Yeah, maybe if you're lucky. So she gets up, she works her way over to the dance, and foxtrots her way over into George's heart because she's the only option. She's like, I pick him, and. You know, by the time the other girls had finally gotten ready and found their shoes and made their way to the dance, it was too late. She had already stolen his heart.
Smart
so,
lady.
Sly Fox.
Super Sly
did,
Fox.
So,
and did anyone know that she did that?
Or oh, I'm sure they figured it out. Do you think she cared? She's
like, just
like,
whatever.
I got what I want.
She got her guy.
Yeah, like,
she got her guy. She was 16 at the time. 2 years late, they got married just before she turned 19. They had 7 children, were married, you know, 36 years until George passed away. And then 9 months later, she passed away. So they,
that's
and
a
with
very
their children,
terrible, like, grant, like the
yeah.
husband dies and then the wife shortly after.
Yeah.
That yeah. Happens. Which, I mean, I like to think that's like, died of a broken heart.
Yeah,
maybe,
that actually
you know?
Is real. That
yeah.
actually is real.
I think my grandmother, when my grandfather passed away, she just like stopped wanting to like actually live.
Oh yeah,
you
no,
know,
absolutely.
She, her
my
health
was...
and everything deteriorated until she,
yeah,
really was just bedridden. And but her like I think like her body wasn't ready to die,
mm-hmm.
so it just kept lingering for
oh.
2 years after. It was maybe longer than that, but
yeah,
she lost her
person,
you know. Yeah, and her.
I get what that. I get what that means now. Like I never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could have met them. They died way before I was even a twinkle in my parents' eye. You know, mm-hmm. But I would have loved to have asked them, like, you know, what was that spark? What?
Yeah.
You know, what was that? I guess the kids, according to the obituaries, said. That for George, his handshake was his bond. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something about that generation and that belief that, like, I committed to something and I'm going to keep that commitment.
Don't you guys think?
Which,
and
yeah.
this is a book we did read for the podcast. With, remind me the name, the one you picked.
Which one? after I do?
After I do.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about this, about...
just the different generations and views on...
Even I think when you make a commitment to somebody, it's more than just saying, okay, we're married, and then letting the relationship go.
Yeah.
It's more of a work and progress.
You
have to keep putting work into the relationship, or it dies. And so at this time, maybe divorce wasn't quite as...
Women didn't have options after divorce. So
you had
to stick it out unless it was absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm.
Which is why there were a lot of murders.
Mm-hmm.
Like poisoning or whatever.
I mean, you know what? Like, honestly, arsenic's a lot cheaper than a divorce.
Oh, gosh. Take a home message. If you're in a bind. No.
But I love that about your grandparents and your great grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there was a love connection, and then they just kept working at it.
Yeah.
And making it happen.
With seven kids.
You know, and it's not without, they probably had lots of bumps in the road, but they had to, you know?
Yep. I cannot wait. We're going to meet and interview a couple that's been married for 77 years, and I just can't wait to hear what they have to say. So,
they make it work. I can't wait to hear how they met. That's always such a fun piece of love stories, is how a couple of
that's all you got out of me. She just hit everyone's shoes and used it. They're mine.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks you guys for tuning in.
Yeah, by the way, did you see her skin?
Yeah.
It's pretty glowing. It's good.
Yeah, but
meh.
That's what I say about that. So,
not the one.
Come back. We're going to try, obviously, other masks. We're going to read more love stories. I really would love... I'm going to keep telling you all the love stories I know about until you send me yours.
Yeah.
Yes.
So send us yours.
Yeah. Go to myperfectromance.com, and there you'll find a link for love stories, and you can submit your own.
Yes.
So send them.
Yes.
And keep listening. And subscribe and rate, review, all that good stuff.
XOXO.
Thanks.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.